see the questions in your eyes. I know what's weighing on your mind, but you can be sure I know my part. 'Cause I stand beside you through the years. You'll only cry those happy tears. And though I'll make mistakes, I'll never break your heart. I swear by the moon and the stars in the sky,
time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
It's the 1st of July. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had a good weekend. We had a good weekend. I went, took some of the guys out. We went camping and messed around out there and did a little shooting and and just woods type stuff. Had a lot of fun. We found out we need to work on our shooting a little bit, but we'll worry about that at a later time, I guess. There is a storm coming, and it's getting more and more, how should I say, carved in stone every day. We hear people that have never really got into this much, you know, and never really prescribed to this theory that civil war is about to be upon us and everything. I mean, it's spreading like wildfire. And along with that, are the things that's making them do it. You know, the things that are escalating, the just absurd activities that's going on that the Democrats, Libs, Antifa, you know, some of these people are doing. Thank you, Tebow. Appreciate that. So, California, today their new ammo tax goes into effect. Gas tax, ammo, background checks for ammo. Which means that I assume if you are wanting to buy ammo through the mail, like Free America, that you have to have it sent to a dealer so that they can do a background check. I'm certain that there'll be a little bit of a transfer fee. I don't know how else they would do that. Maybe they're just not allowed to order by mail at all. But I don't know how well the dealers would take that. But certainly they'll charge a transfer fee when the guy could have bought the ammo from the dealer at, you know, whatever, $20 a box. The guy finds it online for $10 a box. Well, you better believe there's going to be a transfer fee because he could have bought it from him. So I see that being a wee bit inconvenient and expensive. So I don't know. As the old saying goes, as California goes, so goes the nation. So we'll see what happens here over the next coming months and years. But I don't know. I don't know what to look forward to here this next year or two. I'm pretty confident that no matter who wins the upcoming election next year, no matter which way it goes, there's going to be a problem. And I think it's safe to say that it will escalate into civil war proportions. So I don't know. You know, 4th of July, our Independence Day is coming up here in a couple of days, and there's a lot of scuttlebutt going around that there may be some anything from false flags to domestic terror attacks to even international terror attacks here in the States. So I would have to, again, admonish everyone to make sure this is not something that I take lightly, and I hope you don't either. But I want to strongly encourage everyone to, number one, stay home if at all possible. Stay away from crowds. Stay armed. Stay alert. And be prepared for the worst possible thing that could happen. And if you're very fortunate, then you won't have to worry about any of that. But it's kind of like Amy's story with guy crawled through the window with the pocket knife. Son, if that woman had had a pocket knife, the guy wouldn't have had to crawl through the window and cut the seatbelt. I mean, that is unfathomable to me. I just can't. Well, yes, I can. That's not true. I can imagine women not have. Not most of the women that I know, but I can see them not having a knife. But you should, man. We talked about this here. What was it? 3 or 4 months ago, maybe, I don't remember, about having a pocket knife. And I'll tell you again, I don't ever remember ever not having a knife in my pocket, at least one knife in my pocket, except when I was in basic training. Or when I was in jail in Texas once upon a time. That's the only time I remember not having a knife. From the time I was like 5. Every time, I think I told you before, ever since I was old enough to have my own pockets, I had 3 things in there my whole life, and that's a set of keys, pocket knife, and chapstick. As I said here before you at this moment, that's what I have in my pocket. And I can't imagine going a full day, a half a day, even a few hours, without a pocket knife of some fashion. And since I found this knife from Lowe's, this little 3-bladed pocket knife, I'd never tell you how much I love this knife. I love this knife. And I just couldn't even imagine going through a day without it. Or any one of the other 3 that I have on me. So, okay, well, anyway, I'm glad the kid was alert. He had the pocket knife to start with, and had the presence of mind and the gumption and the incentive to jump through that window and cut that kid loose. That was awesome. Even at the very least, he could have handed the woman a pocket knife and said, "Here, cut that belt." But no, he took it upon himself to get this taken care of, and went right through the window and through the window of the car and got it done. Good for him. I'm proud of that kid. Proud of Chick-fil-A, and like I said, I was talking to Amy about it earlier. Any other fast food place would have fired him probably for having a pocket knife, or fired him for intruding on that woman's privacy, or damaging her property, or whatever the case may be. There'd be something to make them look like they were addressing this issue before they got sued or whatever. But apparently not Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is just an amazing business. They have good food to start with, but even if the food wasn't so good, it would still be a favorite with me. Just the way that the things that they've done, the way they've stood up for their employees, and the way they've stood against the queer movement and everything else that they've done. So closed on Sundays, yeah. So yeah, Chick-fil-A is awesome. So if you get a chance, if you're ever around Chick-fil-A, give it a try if you haven't already. Spend some time in there. Good sandwiches, too. I really like their little sandwiches. It's not expensive. And, the times I've been in there, we don't have one, unfortunately, around here. I wish we did. I'd eat there every day. But go down to Tucson, Phoenix, down in there, there's plenty of them around. And I think Flagstaff's got one. So I try to pop in whenever I'm around just to show them my support for them. All right, let me see here. As I told you last week, last Monday, week ago today, I believe, that July 31st was going to be the last of the shooting bench. But it's... we'll see what happens. It's been a little more lively, and things I don't know how to put that, so I just won't put it. But anyway, things are changing a little bit, so it may, we'll see what happens. I'm not making any promises yet, but we'll see what happens between now and the 31st of July. But anyway, I'll tell you one thing. The podcast people have really jumped out there and shown their support. And for that, it may change things. So we'll see what happens with that. So I want to thank all those podcast people and those few of you on the chat room here that have helped with your support a little bit. So I appreciate that very much. And I tell you what, you don't have to donate $20 or $50 or $25 or, you know, if some of you could just do, you know, $5 or so every other month or something. I mean, this show is for you, not for me. So just once in a while, just to help cover some of the expenses and stuff, that would be more than adequate to help keep things going. So if you could ponder on that a little bit, I would definitely appreciate it. I might do that, Tebow, just for the heck of it. I doubt they'd pay any attention to me, but heck, maybe we'll call them. So, Amy, take a letter. We need to call Chick-fil-A corporate office tomorrow and tell them to open a store here. All right, consider it done. We'll see what happens. All right, let's move along. Once upon a time, it was back, actually, Tebow will remember, when we used to do the show from the little diner in Farmington. It was during that very time while we were in that diner that Jason and I talked about having a white pride parade. You know, they were doing black pride parades and all kinds of pride parades and everything. So we never did get around to it, but we talked about it a lot, talked about it on the show quite a bit, and it never did happen. But here is a, in Boston, they have approved a straight pride parade application. Now, that in itself is a little bit surprising to me. However, of course, the mayor has to throw a wet towel in and say, well, that doesn't mean too much yet, where we there's other things to consider. So, but anyway, I'm glad they've made it this far. They said that it's just one step in the process towards receiving a permit. As a next step, the organizers will need to receive necessary approvals from the police department and the licensing board to receive both a parade permit and an entertainment license. Oh my gosh. A parade permit and an entertainment license. What would happen if 15,000 people lined up on the streets to watch this parade and the parade just happened? And damn the parade permit and the entertainment license. What if they just did it? What if they did it like we did in Olympia, Washington in whenever it was, 2015, I think, December 13th? What if we just went and did it? We didn't get any permit or anything. We didn't ask permission to do that in Olympia. We just went and did it. 2,500 armed patriots, 2,000 armed patriots, whatever it was, all showed up on the Capitol grounds in Olympia, Washington, and we had a grand old time. I'll tell you what. Anyways, the site does say that it'll be free and open to the public. All are welcome except for Antifa. It said Antifa is not welcome because they oppose happiness and fun. And so anyway, I wish them luck. I hope this thing goes well. I hope they get it taken care of. Well, that's just a letter from the mayor, so we won't worry about that. All right.
Well, I love a rainy night, I love a rainy night, I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes me feel good. Well, I love a rainy night, such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face, taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shadow, showers wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day, 'cause I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love a rainy night. Well, I love a rainy night. Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. You know it makes me feel good. Well, I love a rainy night, it's such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face, taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shadow, put a song in this heart of mine, put a smile on my face every time. 'Cause I love a rainy night. Yeah, I love a rainy night.
Have a quick little discussion here. Got a student that is trying to make a decision on a certain gun, and it's been a long time since we've talked about this, so I'll spend a few minutes on it. For those of you that own Glocks or are thinking about getting one or wondering what's so great about them or whatever, let me tell you a couple of things that's great about them. We already talked about the polymer frames and the finish on it and all that stuff. But one of the great things about the Glock is being able to change calibers so easily and so inexpensively. It's like you have a 40 caliber Glock and you can shoot 357 SIGs in it with doing nothing but changing the barrel. Same extractor, same ejector, same magazine, same. Just change the barrel and pop it back together and go to shoot. And that's a handy thing. If you like, I'm not a fan of the 357 SIG, except that it is an awesome flat shooting fast little, you know, whitetail gun or coyote gun or something like that. And it would work wonderful for a little hunting gun. Not that the 40 wouldn't work well and 9mm for, you know, quite a few things, but that 357 SIG, as much as I dislike the caliber for what it was designed for, would be a great little gun for hunting, for self-defense in the woods. You can take that same 40 caliber and put a 9mm barrel in it. And as a matter of fact, ideally, you want to buy what's called a conversion barrel because it takes up that 20 thousandths of an inch slack that the stock barrel leaves open there. However, if you want to just pop your stock Glock 17 barrel in your Glock 22 or your Glock 19 barrel in your Glock 23 or your Glock 26 barrel in your Glock 27 or your 17L barrel in your 24 or something like that, it will work just perfectly. You'll have no problems, except that it will shoot about 3 inches high at 25 yards, give or take, depending on the ammo that you're using and which model of gun it is. But it will function perfectly. There's no danger. There's no excessive wear. There's just 20 thousandths of an inch of gap there that it moves around a little bit right at the moment of firing there. So, or the moment the slide unlocks. So not a big deal, and you can do a lot with it. Now, the other thing you can do, you can take a 357 SIG and put a 40 barrel in it, or a 9mm, or you can take a 40 and put a 357 barrel or a 9mm. Another thing you can do, and I've got a video on YouTube about this, you can take a stock, done nothing to it, 10mm, and shoot 40 caliber ammunition in it without doing anything. Use the same magazine, don't do anything, but put 40 caliber in it and bang, bang, bang. It works 100%. Never seen a malfunction with it, because of that anyway. I know two people that have run that extensively, and we've done some testing with it. I know another guy out in Pennsylvania that come out here and took a class. He did a video on his YouTube channel doing that. Actually, he did it while he was taking a class out here from me back in 2012, I think it was, or 13. And it works perfectly. There are no issues. Would it be better to get a conversion barrel to do that with? Arguably, yes, it probably would. But it'll work just fine without it. It fires, it extracts, it ejects, it feeds, it does everything just fine putting 40 caliber ammo in a 10mm Glock, the Glock 20 or the Glock 29 or the, what's the other one, the new Glock 40. The Glock 40 is not a 40, the Glock 40 is a 10, and it would do well with. Now, how does that work, do you say? Well, it works because the cartridge head spaces on the extractor. What keeps the 40 caliber barrel, the 40 caliber cartridge, which is shorter than the 10mm, what keeps it from falling on down into the chamber is the extractor holds it back. The extractor holds it back because the action works just like a Mauser action. As the round jumps out of the magazine to come into the chamber, as the slide is pushing it forward, it goes right up under the extractor to begin with, instead of, like the 1911, instead of the round going home and the extractor then snapping over the edge of it as the slide closes. A Glock doesn't do that. So the rim of the shell, is of the 40 caliber shell, or any shell, excuse me, is already under the extractor, behind the extractor, as it closes, which keeps the shell from, the cartridge from moving forward upon the firing pin striking it. So, yep, it works 100%. And I may or may not have told you this. I probably did a long time ago. You can fire 9mm in a 40 caliber barrel pretty reliably for the same reason. I have shot, I have no idea how many times I've shot a 9mm just to prove a point in a 40 caliber barrel. It head spaces on the extractor. The case blows out to 40 caliber shell diameter,
and the 9mm wanders around, bouncing off the sides of the head of the barrel, and goes on its way downrange. Where it stops, nobody knows. No accuracy involved here. Actually, it's not as bad as you would think. You know, at 7, 10, maybe 15 yards, you could hit a man-sized target, you know, pretty reliably. But you won't be making any headshots unless you walk up and stick it in his ear or something like that. There's not that degree of accuracy. But the point is, you know, in an emergency, if you're shooting a 40 and your buddy's shooting a 9, or your wife or your husband's shooting a 9 or something, and you run out of ammo, borrow one of their magazines and pop it in your gun and keep on keeping on. Now, you do have to rack the slide each time. It will not function. But you can fire as fast as you can rack that slide, you can fire 9mm shells in most 40s. I've seen a couple that it didn't work very well. The one that I'm wearing right now, it works 100% of the time. But you still have to rack the slide after every round. You can shoot 380s in a 9mm Glock 100% reliably, 100% of the time. You just have to rack the slide. They're accurate. I've got a video online of that on my YouTube channel. They're very accurate, no problem, but very low pressure, and you have to rack the slide each time. So that's the... That's it in a nutshell. Well, no, the nutshell. Let me finish what's in the nutshell here. There's also, and what Jason did, and may still be doing it, I don't know. Jason had a Glock 21, which is a 45 ACP. And Jason decided that he liked a 10mm better. So all we did was put a stock. They'll sell you a conversion barrel, but there's no such thing, because the conversion barrel... I mean, the stock 9mm, damn, as you were, the stock 10mm barrel and the stock 45 barrel are precisely the same diameter. And you can shoot 10mm all day long in that Glock 21 or in that Glock, you know, 45 ACP handgun. You cannot do it the other way around. You cannot shoot 45s in a 10mm because the... breech face is not opened up enough for the 45 to get in there. But you don't have to change the extractor or anything, the spring-loaded bearing or nothing for the Glock 21 to shoot 10mm by doing nothing more than changing magazines and throwing a 10mm barrel in it. Now, we decided to try, so we've done all of this. We've taken a 45 and shot 10mm. Well, on my YouTube video, we decided we'd see if we could shoot 40s in a 10mm barrel that was stuck in a 45 ACP. And yes, you can. In my video, I said we had no malfunctions. We actually did have one. It was extremely minor, and I just kind of blew through it without even thinking about it. And I said, well, see, we did that, no malfunctions. Well, there was one, and it was, you know, it was... So what? You know, we shot 10 rounds, had one malfunction. And I'd say that it worked pretty well. So there's all the many different things that you can do with different varieties of Glocks and different barrels and whatnot. All right.
I'll be back.
God bless Texas.
The hair on my shoulder, the aging.
have made you a gentleman's wife. A man, the light of my life. Fate should have made you a gentleman's wife. It's a measure of people who don't understand the pleasures of life in a hillbilly band. I got my first guitar when I was 14. Well, I finally made 40, still wearing jeans. Fate should have made a gentleman's wife. Amanda, light of my life. Fate should have made a gentleman's wife.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Okay, we be back. Had something I was going to share with you here. Oh, yeah. New Mexico. You know, I know New Mexico's been going to pot ever since...
Purchases of bad weather they get it from us.
Wait a minute. Be quiet, sweetheart. Okay, thank you. Since we left, it's been progressively getting worse, a little bit at a time. Susana Martinez grossly disappointed all of us that supported her and helped her get in there. And now this new governor is even worse. And so they've got some new gun laws going into effect, too, as they are in several states. And the two things that are coming into effect today in New Mexico, one of them is the background check for all firearms transfers. The only exceptions are sales between family members and between law enforcement. Anything else, whether purchased from the store, a neighbor, a friend, or whatever, there has to be a background check. Now, of course, you have to do it from the store anyway. But so what they're saying, and this is this Miranda whatever from the New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence, said it's important in terms of making sure that guns don't end up in unsafe hands. I'm not sure how this background check does this, because there are exceedingly few crimes that have taken place by people that have passed a background check and went and committed a crime with it.
Most of these have, they determined where they got their gun, and I'm sure there are some, I can't think right off the top of my head, but I'm sure there are some where they, bought the gun from a friend, or, we've had some where they've stole it from a family member. That's already illegal. And all this background check thing does is maybe add a little enhancement to the sentence once they catch you. But it does nothing. It does absolutely nothing. I can't believe these people are so stupid that they think that they're going to somehow make some kind of a difference in the overall number of violent crimes or murders or suicides or whatever with guns because they're doing background checks. Doesn't matter. The other one that's going into effect, this one's even worse. This one would restrict all of those convicted of domestic violence or those with restraining orders against them from possessing guns at all. Excuse me. Wait. Hey, excuse me. Yeah, you, listen. That's already against federal law. With the Lautenberg Act of 1990-something, 96 maybe, 95, somewhere in there. The Lautenberg Act already makes it a federal offense to own or possess a firearm or handle a firearm, buy a firearm, if you have a domestic violence, if you've been convicted of domestic violence, or if you have a restraining order against you. Period. No exceptions. Even the most minor of restraining orders is a federal offense for you to possess or own a firearm. Or buy one, transfer one, handle one, go out shooting with somebody else's gun, or whatever. It's against the law. But New Mexico had to make everybody feel like they were doing something. Yeah, we'll show them. We'll just make this illegal to something that's already illegal. We'll make it even illegaler than that. Because that's what we do here. And all of our little retard snowflake libtards will think we are wonderful, wonderful leaders here. So if there ever was any slightest little inkling of any little spark at all of considering that I would ever move back to New Mexico, you can bet your bottom dollar it's gone up in smoke now. That won't even be happening. There's a sheriff here from, I think he's from Cibola County, Tony Mace. I was in between him and his brother. His brother, I don't know his real name, but we called him Lucky Mace. And good guy. I liked him. A little wild, but I got along with him good. And so anyway, Tony Mace is a pretty good sheriff. He's very, very pro-gun. And from what I can tell, he's done a good job in his county. He's also the president of the New Mexico Sheriff's Association, so that's a good thing, too. So he says if you're under a protection order, you can't own or possess a firearm or ammunition, you'll have to surrender it to law enforcement. So while the supporters of all this think this is a wonderful thing, the other one is not all that sure. The leg of the gal, Miranda, whatever her name was, said our crime and our gun violence in New Mexico is at an all-time high. We have way too many young people getting a hold of guns. This will help make sure that doesn't happen. No, it won't. It'll have zero impact on that. What Tony May say, Sheriff Mace, says we don't have the tools necessary to enforce that law. So that's where the comment, the stance of it's going to be a law that's in the books that's not used from. We don't have a system in New Mexico to track these firearms. There's quite a few counties in this last April in New Mexico that passed Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions in response to this exact legislation right here. And the Attorney General has warned sheriffs and police chiefs that they risk liability, legal liability, if they refuse to enforce these new laws. And they say the background check will also apply to gun shows. So, I don't know. It's the same thing that's happening in Washington and some of these other places there, man. So we'll be watching that very closely, but I have no intention of ever going back to New Mexico for any period of time other than to visit a little bit. Go and get my visit and done and get right back out of there. Okay, where are we at? We got a few minutes left here. Here's another gun-related thing. Here is... I hate the way this thing does it on the computer. But it looks like... Stop, would you? Anyway, it looks like Weatherby is moving from... Can't tell where they're moving from because this damn thing has jumped in and taken over my page here. Trying to get me to allow ads and subscribe to this, that, and the other thing. So anyway, they're moving to Wyoming from California. So there you go. Yeah, Weatherby's made 36 special Sheridan rifles, it says. There came my deal back and killed my fun. So anyway... This is one of I don't know how many gun makers that have gone to the expense and the time and the trouble and the inconvenience to move into more gun-friendly states, either because of laws or taxes or both. Bushmaster moved, and I think Remington moved, and Springfield moved, I believe. And I don't know, Pro-Mag, Oh, hell, the people who make P-Mags, they're not a gun manufacturer, but they're still gun-related. They moved. The people that make the fiberglass sights out of Colorado, they moved. I mean, fiber optic, not fiberglass. So it's good to see all these people, all these companies are standing up here to do something. Speaking of standing up, this is not gun-related, but you know that there's only 14 states... in the union right now, or maybe let me rephrase that. There are 36 states where it is illegal for kids to have a lemonade stand on the street without a permit. Only 14 states still allow that, and sadly, from what I can tell, Arizona is not one of them. But that's absurd to me. I can't imagine, man. When I was a kid, we used to go out and sell all kinds of crap out on the sidewalk. We'd everything from mud pies to lemonade, and everything, worms and everything else. And people come by and they just buy whatever we had for no reason at all, just to be friendly and helping us out. And there's not a single person, not one, not us, not them, not anybody, that thought that it was somehow okay to make 9-year-old boys get a permit for a lemonade stand. Magpul, thank you, Mountain Shooter. Yep, that's the one. So, anyway, Country Time Lemonade has put out a notice saying that any kid that gets fined for having a lemonade stand, all you got to do is send a picture of the citation and your lemonade stand to them, and they will pay the fine. Now, that's standing up. That's not even, that's not what I would call, it's not a gun-related thing. It's not something you'd ordinarily think a company like a lemonade company would do. but they're standing up like Chick-fil-A. Maybe not to that extreme just yet, but we'll see where it goes. I think it's pretty bold, pretty generous of them. You know, what if all these kids, a bunch of kids, go out and decide, well, let's just go set one up. We know we're going to get a ticket, but hell, let's just do it anyway because it won't cost us anything. Anyway, I think that's pretty darn good. Okay. Okay, this will be interesting. Tebow, you may have seen this. I think you saw Edge of the Woods post this on Facebook. This is interesting. I don't know how they're going to do it and how they'll make it effective in any way, but the United States is trying to, they're thinking about legislation that will outlaw encrypted message programs like Signal and WhatsApp and iMessage and Wickr and some of these other ones. Now, I don't know how they're going to accomplish this exactly, but that's what they're trying to do. I don't know what it will mean to those of us that use these things. But the governments right now are exploring their options to find out what they can do. And to me, it seems like this is a blatant, gross violation of the First Amendment. First, fourth, maybe even fifth. Says the challenge is that some of these services are provided by technology companies mostly based in the United States, making them to a large extent out of reach of lawmakers elsewhere. It says mostly based in the U.S. I'm thinking that was supposed to mean mostly based outside of the U.S. Message service run over the top, which means they're not tied directly to the provider or the network or the phone. All of which means that the power broker here is, as in most things technological, is the U.S. government. So I strongly, ever so strongly, encourage everyone to use Signal and Wickr for your personal messaging and for everything that you do. And convince your family members and those that you communicate with the most often, especially your family members, your friends, to go to one of these more secure apps. Wickr and Signal being top of the line. They are the two most secure of all of them. Others have some degree of security, but have been compromised at some point and probably will again. As we've discussed before, Proton Mail is your go-to secure email server. ProtonMail.com. Now, when you go, if you go and get a Proton Mail address, be diligent. Make sure that you get your default address is ProtonMail.ch. Not ProtonMail.com. They have the same degree of security except for one thing. .com servers are in the United States and subject to United States laws. Although there's nothing on those servers, the messages don't go there. There is still some potential somehow. I mean, the fact that they can get in there at all is undesirable to me. So the ProtonMail.ch servers are in Switzerland, not subject to United States law, which either way doesn't really matter because nothing is on those servers. As they just said that this goes over the top, it means that it's the actual message is not saved, it's not anything. It's encrypted on each end, encrypted and decrypted on each end. So just to be safe, protonmail.ch is what you're looking for. Okay, let me see. We're just about to run out of time here. So let me punch a couple of buttons and get a couple of things all ready to go here. And we'll get ready to go as well. So Wednesday will be, there's a possibility. I don't know if we've got a very important job to go do on Wednesday. If I make it to, it's a matter of whether I'm going to another town, and if I make it there in time, I will be there. If I decide to go early in the morning and not that night, then Wednesday should go on as normal. So I will let you know. Also, the 64K server will be going away at the end of the month. It's paid for right now. Apparently not too many people listened to it. It was put in there as a fail-safe in case something happened to the 32. We have had so few such minor problems with the 32 that will help with the financing a little bit too by getting rid of it. It doesn't cost a lot, but you add that to everything else that we're paying is just one more thing. So the end of this month, the 64K server will be disappearing. So we'll get Tinker to take down that player up at the top, and everything will be on the 32. So I hope that works out for everyone. It will definitely work out for us because there'll be less things to keep track of, less things to pay for. So that will help a little bit. So if the shooting bench continues after the end of this month, it will be without the 64K server. No. Okay. Well, I thank all those of you that were listening. And we, if everything goes well, we'll be back Wednesday night. If not, there will be an archive on as well. And Doc talked to me. Doc's very wise when it comes to this radio stuff. And he said one of the, and I knew this, you know, and hearing it from Doc just confirmed it, is since things have been kind of going downhill and the chat room numbers have been going down, you know, I look right now, there's 5 people in there. But like I said, our 95% of our listenership is podcasts. So, yeah, I'd like to see some of the old people come back on the chat, but whatever. But consistency is one of the things that we have lacked, especially in the last 2 or 3 months, as I've been more and more frustrated with this, with what's going on. So, if we continue to keep on keeping on, consistency will become more consistent. And we'll try to do a little better with that. We'll get Amy's show on here on time and regularly. And we'll see how all that works. All right. As always, when I start babbling, it's time to go. So we're just going to babble on out of here, and hopefully we'll see y'all Wednesday night. Thanks for joining.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining.
No explanation, no reconciliation. Talk it over, number I can call. Goodbye says it all.